The man took a shuffled step forward. He was clearly the crew's leader.
"Mr. Jaggery," he began,
pointedly declining to say captain.
"I said we would be revenged upon you, did I not?"
"I heard your usual brag, Mr. Krannick, if that's what you mean," the captain replied. "But I paid no more mind to it then than I do now." At that, Krannick lifted his one hand and, still managing to hold the sword, savagely pulled a paper from where it had been tucked into his trousers. He held the paper up.
"Mr. Jaggery," he called, his voice ragged, "we've got a round robin here, which declares you unfit to be captain of the Seahawk."
There were murmurs of agreement from behind him.
"And what do you intend to do with it, Mr. Krannick?" the captain retorted. "I should think even you, in your mongrel ignorance, would know the days of piracy are long gone. Or do you have that much desire to bring back the practice of hanging in chains, of letting men rot so that crows might peck upon their putrid eyes?"
"No piracy for us, Mr. Jaggery,"
Krannick replied with a vigorous shake of his head.
"Only justice. We could not get it on land. We shall have it at sea."
"Justice, say you? Under whose authority?"
the captain demanded.
"All of us. Our authority,"
Krannick cried, and made a half turn to the men behind him. There were murmurs and nods of approval.
"And what kind of justice do you offer?"
the captain asked.
"Nothing precisely legal, I presume." "We demand you stand before us in a trial of your peers,"
Krannick answered.
"Trial, peers," the captain cried mockingly. "I see nothing but ruffians and villains, the scum of the sea." "Then we proclaim ourselves your peers,"
Krannick cried. With that, he flung down the paper and took another step forward.
"You can have anyone you want defend you," he persisted. "Have that girl, if you like. She seems to be your eyes and ears. Let her be your mouth, too."
It was at that exact moment that Captain Jaggery fired his musket. The roar was stupendous. The ball struck Krannick square in the chest. With a cry of pain and mortal shock, he dropped his sword and stumbled backward into the crowd. They were too stunned to catch him, but instead leaped back so that Krannick fell to the deck with a sickening thud. He began to groan and thrash about in dreadful agony, blood pulsing from his chest and mouth in ghastly gushes. I screamed. Mr. Hollabrass moaned. In horror, the crew retreated further. Captain Jaggery hastily dropped his spent musket, picked up the second, and aimed it into their midst.
"Who shall be next?"
he screamed at them. To a man, they looked up with burning, terrified eyes.
"Let Krannick lie there,"
the captain continued to shout.
"Anyone who moves forward shall receive the same."
The crew began to edge further away.
"Leave your guns and swords," the captain shouted. "Quickly now. I'll fire upon the first who doesn't."
Pistols, swords, and knives dropped in a clatter.
"Mr. Hollabrass, collect them."
The first mate scurried down the steps and, while glancing upward, began to gather the weapons. It was clear he feared the captain more than the crew.
"They're round robin, too,"
the captain called to him. Too shocked to speak, I could only watch and feel enormous pain. Krannick had stopped moving. The only sign of life in him were the small pink bubbles of blood that frothed upon his lips.